This month, we've been talking about position for favor, and we're going to be continuing on with this. And I'm engrossing myself in this message, you know. And I'm just eating it up. I'm loving it right now, and I feel like God is just doing such a work inside of me, and I hope inside of us as well. But we're talking about position for relationship, positioned for favor through relationship today. Position for favor through relationship. Now, how many have heard the phrase that it's all about who you know? It's all about who you know. Anyone ever heard that? You know, if you're going through a job, you know, well, you got to get to know this person. If you get to know this person, then you'll get favor, then you'll come up here, and they'll help you get up. I remember my job, you know, they say, you know, promotion's about who you know. Like, I used to work in a travel agency, and I remember when I first got there, the team in the home base, they liked me. And so they gave me some tips like, hey, you know, we like you, and so we want you to get to know some of the other people in this head office, because then you'll get promoted. So I use some of that little wisdom, and every now and then I'd come by and bring them chocolates and stuff like that. And anyway, it's not why I became manager, but I'm sure that that little extra favor helped a little bit as well, you know. But I bless them, and so blessing comes, you know, sometimes in return of some of that stuff. But in any case, it's about who you know. It's about who you know as a Christian, too. You know, again, that seems like a very secular and business thing. If you're a Christian, sometimes that can make you cringe. It kind of does make me cringe a little bit. So, you know, yeah, I got to know this person. I got to play the politics and get to know this person. But there is a truth in that, because it's about who you know in God. It's about who you know as God. Who do you know as God? Do you know that you can know God in many different ways? You know, there's different ways to know God. Now, I'm not talking about Islam. I'm talking about Hinduism, because those are not ways to know God, the one true God. There's only one way. But I'm talking about God as in there's different facets. Just like a diamond has multiple facets to it, so does God. And we talked about here, you know, in the name of the Lord, you know, what joy, you know, what hope there is in the name of the Lord. You know, there's many names to God. There's multiple names. If you go through the Bible, there is, I don't know how many, there's tons of names of God, different, and each name describes a different facet of who he is. How many here have a nickname? Does anyone have a nickname here? What's your nickname, Brianna? Bri-Bri. Okay, well, I don't know how it describes you, but it's a cute little name, Bri-Bri, all right? But usually nicknames, you know, my father, when I was a little kid, I always remember he called me Buster. I don't know why, but because I would, you know, do things, I think I'd wreck things here and there like a little whirlwind, and so remind him some of Buster. But names have an association to it. They describe something, and each name of God describes something about who he is. Tell me some names of God that you know. I want to hear some names of God that you guys know. El Shaddai? Right? What? God of peace? What? Jehovah? Yeah. Jehovah Jireh? Yep. Any other names of God? Jehovah Rapha? All right, well, we'll get into some. Alpha and Omega? Absolutely. I'm causing you to think here this morning. I wasn't expecting to go to church and think. You know, I just we need to be thinking and pondering upon who God is, upon the name. If we're singing, Lord, you know, my hope is in the name of the Lord. You know, he reveals himself in different names. In the Old Testament, he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. That's what that name means. He is the provider. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rapha means our healer. He revealed himself, Old Testament, as the healer. He revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom, our peace. These are just the Jehovah names. Jehovah's in conjunction with other names. You know, how about Father? You ever heard the term Father? God is Father God, Abba. We cry out, Abba, Father. Oh my gosh, there's so many names. How about Holy? He is holy. How about King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? Just a few of the names, you know. He is the head, right? He is our Savior, Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Messiah, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel. He is Emmanuel. Oh my gosh, the God of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. You know, he is joy. He is love. Love is a name. It is who God is, and we can call him love. He is the Great I Am. The Great I Am. If we would begin pondering the names of God, you know, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Every time you begin praising a certain facet of God, and praising could just be saying his name. Saying his name, like, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. And you are repeating his name. You know what? God inhabits his praises. He inhabits. He comes down. If I'm calling, let's say you're an accountant, all right? The suits I got were from an accountant. You know, I could either call on your name, you know, let's say I can call on Heidi, or I could say, you know, Accountant Heidi or Dr. Heidi. And now I'm pulling upon your profession, or I'm pulling upon a different aspect of who you are. And I'm calling that out, and all of a sudden, you know, that person will appear. Like, okay, you're addressing me as doctor. So what is it that you want in regards to healing? Or you're calling upon me in that form or shape, right? So this is the same thing with the names of God. Get to know him. Get to know God. Get to know his names. And begin calling upon the name of the Lord. Call upon Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And as we begin calling on him, as we begin praising him, as we begin speaking that name out, he inhabits. He comes in and makes himself known and aware to us in that name as we begin becoming aware of him in that form and facet. Anyway, it's about who you know. Let me ask a question here. I can ask you a question. Are you satisfied? And I'm not looking for an actual answer. It's rhetorical. Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? Are you satisfied? Again, I don't want to hear any answers right now, but are you satisfied with your relationship with God? Now, that question, in my mind, can produce two different results. If I were to ask you that, some of you could say, yes, I am satisfied, or no, I am not satisfied. And if you're satisfied, then it could produce something called laziness. And it could be a result of pride, where you say, I'm satisfied with my relationship. I'm doing good. My prayer life's great. Everything's great. And what that means, therefore, is that you don't need to make any adjustments. There's no need of God. There's no need on any of the names of the Lord or who he is. All right? So we can say that everything's great, and not that we're to be saying, oh, I'm doing terrible, and you know, but what I'm saying is there a need there. And the other side of it can say, no, I am desperately in need of God, and we need to work on our relationship with God, and all of a sudden we can be getting into religion. We could be working works. I gotta pray. I gotta read my Bible. I gotta do this, and all of a sudden we start getting frantic about everything we got to do, everything about clocking in with God, because I'm not doing enough in my relationship with God. I gotta clock in. I gotta come in and work. And all of a sudden it becomes a work. Not a work that comes from God, but a work for God that's really void of him. And that's what religion in the worst sense is. It's religion is an institution. It's doing something for God, really without God. Really without him, without any love, without any passion, without any desire for him. And we don't want empty religion. This church is not about empty religion at all. It is about Jesus being the center of it all. Him filling in everything that we're doing. Him the one driving that we do something. It comes because of his love and passion for this world, for you, for what he wants in this earth. And that's what we're going to do, what we're doing because of him. Not because I need to clock in so I can feel better about my relationship with God. You know, some people go to churches that look really good. I can say that because we don't have a cathedral here. Obviously, we're in like this warehouse, this World War II warehouse, you know. But they go to cathedral, and they don't go. They won't go to a church like this or that meets any other place. They need to go to a cathedral kind of church. Why? Because they feel like they have gone to church by going there. Okay, they feel like they have now done a duty because now they're in a place that looks like the house of God. So this must be it. I've clocked in. All right, now I feel better about myself and my relationship with God. This is not what it's about. And I want to say that's the wrong question. It's not a good question to say, am I satisfied with my relationship with God? A better question I want to pose, because it could produce laziness. It could also produce something where it changes your heart. But if you remain in that question, what happens is it talks about more about your satisfaction, right? It's centered. That question is centered around you. And we're just saying, Jesus, be the center of my life. The question is, Jesus, are you satisfied with my relationship with you? God, are you satisfied? God, are you satisfied? We've been talking about pleasing God. God, are you satisfied? Now, if we don't have a correct knowledge of God, we can feel like, oh my gosh, God hates me, you know? And then we can go back to the punching in type thing, or, you know, or we can just assume and have this image of God that he wants me to be happy. That comes centers back around ourselves. God just wants me to be happy. So, yeah, I'm sure he's making me happy right now, or he's not, you know, I don't know. I don't want to go too much down that trail of thought, but what I do want to say is that this is a question we should be asking. God, are you satisfied? Because if it is our aim to please God, at the end of the age, what is it that we're looking for God to say? The Bible says we're looking for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the satisfaction of God. Are we going to enter into the satisfaction that, God, I have lived a life for you. I have come and, Lord, I have lived this life for you. God, it's been about you. You've been the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of it all. We need to be around him. Sometimes we have some faulty foundations. Again, if it's just about us, God, you know, we can have God as a genie in the bottle. You know, God, it's what are you doing for me? God, this isn't happening. This isn't working in my life. But how about God? What is he thinking? It's about him. We need to rechange it because we want God to be satisfied. Talking about, as we go back to that question, you know, it's about who you know. If you knew someone in a place in your job that was of high favor, that had a high position, and they were not satisfied with you or their relationship with you, would you expect favor from them? Would you expect favor from them? If they are not satisfied with their relationship, they might do something good for you. They might still, you know, they might keep you up. You know, I think of parents and children, right? You love your child, even if they're disobeying, you still love them. You'll still protect them. You'll still feed them and give them whatever. But there's some children, and let's take this in the children of God, there's some that really serve out of a whole heart. There's some that, man, they listen and obey what their parents are asking. And guess what that draws? It draws favor. It draws favor. It draws favor from the parent. It draws favor from, you know, you're not supposed to have a favored child. You look in the Bible, there's tons of ones that were favored that ended up being good and bad in many circumstances. But what I do want to say is that, you know, God has favorites. What are you talking about? Anyway, we'll get into that in a second here. You know, your relationship with God and your love with God has different levels. Has different levels. I'm going to tell my favorite. God loves you all, okay? His agape love is unconditional. I love my children. My love for them, I love them all. But when I see wisdom in a child, oh, man, that's beautiful. When I see a child smile, when I see a child responding, goodness, oh, man, I want to bless you. I want to reward you. What happens? You reward good works, don't you? Right? You reward when someone does good. If they're not doing good, you don't reward them, do you? Right? A child, you don't give them rewards for doing bad, do you? Because that probably wouldn't be very good. All right, you reward them extra when they're doing something good, and so there's extra favor that gets poured out. Anyway, I don't want to take too long proving that point right now, but we can talk about that later if you like. But favor from God, and there's favor in different relationships with God. There's favor in different relationships with God. You know, my kids ask me, Daddy, are you my friend? They come to me, Daddy, are you my friend? They ask me this all the time. Daddy, you're my friend. They'll make the statement too. Daddy, you're my friend. I said, I'm your daddy first, and then I'm your friend. I'm your daddy first. And if you can put that slide up there, Brian, what I want to talk about today is that there is first kinds of relationships that we need to have with God our Father. We need to have certain understandings of God, you know, that God is daddy first, or so to speak, or I'm daddy first before I'm your friend. You know, there's that song that was sung, and I love the person who sings this song, but it says, I'm a friend of God. Anyone ever heard that song? I'm a friend of God. You don't want to hear me sing. So just raise your hand that you heard it. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. All right, very good. But you know what? Not everyone's a friend of God. You know that? I'm talking about a deep friendship with the Lord. I'm talking about deep friendship. Look at Enoch. How many people were taken from the face of this earth that you know about? Two. Okay. Yep. Actually, I think... Oh, anyway. I know there's Enoch and Elijah. But Enoch was taken. He's so pleased. God, the Lord just took him and said, I can't stand you being on just earth anymore. I need you closer, closer. And God just took him, and he was no more. Enoch was taken. He pleased the Lord so much. That's what's recorded. That's such a beautiful thing. You know, you can continually please God. And that should be, God, I want to please you. God, I want to satisfy your heart. But there's things that need to start on the base level. There's things that we need to learn. Now, I put here, I don't know if you can see this, but we need to have an understanding of Jesus, okay? That's kind of our baseline, so to speak. We need to understand, have a revelation or a disclosure of who Jesus is. Before we have a relationship with God, we do not access any relationship with God without Jesus, his beloved. Jesus is his most favored one, okay, in all the earth. And guess what? You are the body of Christ. When you receive Jesus into your life, he looks at you as though he sees Jesus. Okay, you made an exchange. You gave him your sin. You've taken Jesus' reputation. So you are his beloved. But Jesus, when you enter into Jesus, you become the beloved. Why? Because God loves Jesus. God says, you are my beloved son. Not just a loved son, not just I love you, son. You are my beloved son, in whom I am not just pleased, I am well pleased. We're going to talk about this probably in the next couple of weeks here. But well pleased, well pleased. It was another level beyond normal, okay? His pleasure in Jesus was a whole nother level. His love of Jesus was on a whole nother level than just I love you. It was, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he said, hear his words. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said when he was baptized, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, God came and said that to him. And also at the Mount of Transfiguration, he said the same thing. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now hear him. Hear him. It's amazing how God opens up doors for men of God to be heard when God is well pleased. Jesus, the baseline. We cannot access any of the relationship with God without Jesus, right? But let me put this, as you access any relationship with God, as you praise God out of any way, God loves it. God loves every time you access your relationship with God, whether you access him as a Savior, Redeemer, as the Father, the Holy Spirit, the lover of our souls, owner. And there's just a few little things here, okay? This is a very rough draft just to show an example. So please don't take this as, oh my gosh, this is like the heavy revy. This is just a few names of God just to bring an example and point I want to bring here, all right? But you cannot get to know the Lord and King without Jesus, all right? So your relationship with God starts off with Jesus. Every other relationship, and so I want you to look at that in a sense of the facets of God. You are in relationship with God in many different ways. You know, there's some people I know, they only know God as their Father. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with knowing God. You want to know God as your Father, all right? That he is your Father. But because they know God as their Father, they haven't grown in their relationship with God as Lord and King. I want you to track with me for a little bit here, okay? So therefore, they love God as a Father. It's like my Hannah saying, are you my friend? My Haley saying, are you, Daddy, you're my friend. I'm your daddy first. But some of these people, they look and say, well, God, you're my daddy. You love me unconditionally. You don't expect me to serve you. You love me, and I don't have to serve you. Okay, I don't know if you've ever heard this kind of stuff before, but it's out there and it's very prevalent. And some of us might have this tucked in our heart. We don't realize it. What I want to say is that there's different relationships with God. We need to know God in many different ways, not just one. If you know God in just one relationship, praise God, but it's limiting your relationship and growth in the Lord. We need to know God and who he is in the entirety, in the fullness. God, I want to know the fullness of who you are. So there is truth as God as a Father. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. You are adopted. You have been grafted in. You are part of the vine. You are his. You belong to him. You are son and daughter of the Most High God. And we can only access that relationship because of Jesus. And before we realize, we see him as Jesus, but then we need to have a relationship with him as Savior, as Redeemer. In order to have a relationship with him as Savior, as Redeemer, we need to recognize that we're lost and we need help. Because if you don't recognize that, you can know about Jesus, but you don't access him as Savior, the one who saved you, the one who pulled you out. And all of a sudden we begin realizing who he is and we access him as Savior. And then before we get to know him as God, we need to receive him as Savior, as Messiah, as our Redeemer who redeemed us out. He purchased us from the slavery of sin. He broke the chains over us, over sin. He made access to God. He made access to the other relationships because he is Savior. He saved us from going to hell, from dying a death because of the wages of sin. We need to know him as Savior, and we need to be to him the redeemed. We need to be to him the one that was saved. He needs to be your hero. Let me say that again. He needs to be your hero. He needs to be your knight in shining armor. Now, if someone saves you, on this earth, let's say you were in a ravine going down, you're about to drown, and a helicopter comes in and saves you. Wouldn't you go on the news and say, he's my hero, or he saved me? He's there. Wouldn't you have a revere for that person? But for some reason, our natural bodies, we don't do that. I'm talking about myself. This happens. It's just natural. We don't necessarily revere him like that. He's Savior. Yeah, he's my Savior. After we grow in our relationship, we kind of lose sight that he's still our Savior. He's my hero. Is Jesus your hero? Is Jesus your hero? Get to know him as Savior. Then we get to know him as friend, as Father. I'm sorry, Father and Holy Spirit. Okay? We have a Savior here, then all of a sudden, and this is not necessarily levels. Look, Here's the thing. You know him as Savior and Redeemer, but you can also get to know him and start to understand that he is kind of a friend. He's a Lord and King. You can start out on his level, on this base level to begin to know, but you cannot get the fullness of a friend of God, the Lord and King, unless you get these other revelations. Let me say that again. I'm going to go over here because I know I'm on this side here. You cannot get to know God as a friend or Lord and King until some of these other revelations are in place. Right? Perhaps you have heard of this, but courses like we're doing on Wednesday night, laying the foundations. Laying the foundations. Now, why do Christians have laying the foundations? Why? Because some foundations to your Christianity need to be understood so you can build upon that. Right? There's some revelations of who God is that you need to have set in place first before you fully understand more of God. It's hard to understand God. Again, these are just examples. There's so many more names of God, and I don't know how you could have this list. It doesn't, you know, it can rearrange in different ways, but it's hard to know God. You really can't be the friend of God he talks about intimately, and we'll get into some of the scriptures, unless he's Savior, Redeemer, unless you understand him as a Father, unless you understand him as a lover of soul. Again, let me put it this way. I've had people ask me, Pastor, I want to be your friend. You know what? Pastors are not friends with too many people. All right? And that's not because, like, we're just, like, you know, elitist or something like that. But I'm saying it's very delicate to pour out your heart and to be vulnerable. And now as a pastor should be vulnerable. Many pastors close up because they've been hurt. We open up our heart, and all of a sudden someone comes and stabs, or they come and they don't believe our heart, and they come in a way that hurts. And then what happens? Pastors begin closing up. They begin making walls in their life, and you can't get too far in them. And that also blocks the anointing, that blocks God from moving through them. It's something that pastors constantly have to face in letting down those walls and those guards. Am I right, Pastor John? You know, it's very hard. It's very easy to close up as a pastor, all right? Because being vulnerable to multiple people is not easy, right? But in any case, not everyone can be a friend of a pastor or leader, because just like I tell my Hannah, I'm daddy first, and then I'm your friend. If you don't understand that I'm pastor, if you don't understand that there's some level of authority, then no, you're not going to be a friend. If you have a child that doesn't understand that you're father or mother, are you going to really allow them just to be a friend with you and just overrule you every time as you're a parent? No. Or how about a child that doesn't recognize the teacher, just wants you to be their friend? Well, then they're not teacher all of a sudden. They don't respect you as a teacher. Now, they respect you as a teacher. If they respect you as a parent, then all of a sudden you open up and give access to friendship, because now, all right, they can handle this. They can balance being a friend and also understand this as well, this understanding of authority, and I can trust them in this relationship. The same thing with God. God reveals his secrets to his friends. Again, we'll get into the scripture in just a second, in just a minute here. Right, but what I want us to understand is that there's levels of relationship with God. You know, there's Savior, Redeemer, Father. We understand him as Father. We understand the Holy Spirit, the lover of our souls, that he comes in and makes his home with us. This is a base foundational level as well. But here's the cool thing. As we keep growing, that he is owner and master. Do you know that you are called stewards? We're called to be stewards. He gives you talents. We're called to be stewards. He is the owner of those gifts that you have in your life. Do you know that? He's the owner. He's the master. Okay? He's Father, but he's also master. All right? He's master, and we're indebted to him. He is the head, all right? And we are the body. We're the church. Fear of God, wisdom. Before you can fully understand the Lord and King, you need to have the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then there's the friend of God. There's God's, again, there's so many names of God. There's so many more that we put on this list here. But what I want to say is that as you grow in this, again, you can start out with Jesus, Savior and Redeemer, and you can be getting an understanding of him as friend of God. But there's so much more to know. The more you grow in this, the more the fullness of his friendship of Lord and King grows. The more you know him as the love of your soul, the more you begin to understand the Lord and King, the more you understand him as the head of the church, the more you understand him as Lord and King, the more you get the fear of God, the more you understand the fullness. Again, it's not that we reach some kind of apex, because if we come over here, the more we know him as the love of our souls, our relationship with God gets deeper on this level. The more we know him as our owner and our master, as our head, our relationship as Savior, our love grows deeper for him as Savior. Can you find that? I know there's some complexities in what I'm talking about here today. The more you know him as the King and Lord, the more you love him, the more love you have for him as Savior, your love for him grows deeper in the other facets of God. They don't stop or cease on some level. They just grow deeper. But your understanding, which is on that side, grows more into the other areas of God. Again, that might be a little bit hard to conceptualize, but what I want to point out is that We need to know God and position ourselves. Again, position for favor in our relationship with God. You can have favor in different relationships with God. You can have favor with God as your Father. But there's also a different kind of favor as God as your head, or as God as the lover of our souls. There's a different kind of favor as God being the owner of the gifts that he's given you. Do you understand? I don't know if we can understand. What I really want us to catch and understand today, there's different areas of favor with different relationships with God. Can we grasp that for a second? There's different levels of favor with different relationships with God. As the more we grow, as God is Lord, that he is King, all of a sudden he bestows favor over his kingdom more and more. He might make you now a ruler over 10, not a ruler, so to speak, but a leader over more people, because now you understand his authority, so now God can give you more authority. God can have you spread his kingdom out more. Now we're a laborer in his kingdom, and God grows our sphere of influence. Why? Because he gets more glory. Our relationship with him grows more and more, and all of a sudden we get more favor in that relationship with him as Lord and King and as friend of God. Let's read a few scriptures here. Psalm 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him." And mostly I just talk about the fear of the Lord here. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. In the New Living Translation, which I don't really like the Living Translation that much, but it says, "The Lord is a friend to those who fear him." When you see the word "secret of the Lord" in the New King James or King James Version, if you look at that version, it talks about the counsel of God. It talks about intimate counsel with someone who is a friend. Okay, that's what the Hebrew word means there. We're talking about the secret counsel of God. All right, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, or friendship with the Lord is reserved for those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 33:18 says, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love." Psalm 34:9, "Let the Lord's people show him reverence, for those who honor him will have all they need." Psalm 112:1, "Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what he commands." Gosh, there's so many scriptures here I could give here. John 15:14. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Let me stop right there. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, are they friends with Jesus if they don't do what he commands them? It kind of nullifies that, right? It kind of brings that there is a different relationship. Yeah, he can be teacher and student. Jesus was a rabbi to many people at that time. Jesus was a great teacher to many people at that time. But he was Messiah to those disciples. They understood him as that. They understood who he was, and that gave them access to more knowledge and understanding. And Jesus said, you know, "Peter, the Father's revealed this to you." The Father's revealed this, as God reveals more of himself and who he is, who Jesus is to us. All of a sudden, our relationship, our doors of access to more relationships with God begin growing. Our doors to understanding more of God begins growing. As we understand, we can access those relationships more and more. We want to be a friend with God? Yeah, God loves you. God's your friend. He's your Father, right? And in the very beginning, as you receive him as Savior, he's a friend to you, all right? But he reveals his secrets. He reveals some inner things to those that are deeply close with him. Look at the disciples of Jesus. Do you know that he had 12 disciples, but there were three that were really close with him? Three that were really close to him. Peter, James, and John. This was the inner circle. These were those that, do you want to say favor? I don't know. It kind of sounds weird to say that, right? But they were in his inner circle, and they were at the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw more of God's glory when Jesus was here on earth than the others did. They saw more of God. They were closer. They were in that circle there. I'm saying, I got to get in the inner circle again. It's about satisfying God. And as you do that, your understanding grows. And it's not that he says, you can't come in. He doesn't do that to anybody. He doesn't say, you can't come in. You can't be a friend of God. He doesn't say it to anyone here, okay? All of you have the ability to become that friend of God. All of you have that ability to know him more as Lord and King. All of us have that access to be able to do that. But here's the thing. Are we going to do what he commands us? Because access to friendship with God says you're a friend by those, if you do what I command you. Then verse 15, the next one says, "No longer do I call you servants." Look at that. even talking about friendship and servants, right? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master, another form, master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you. You know, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls among swine. All right, that's a very harsh statement, but in some ways. But I'll put it this way. You know, you don't tell everybody everything, do you? Everything that's going on, you don't tell it to everybody, do you? No. But if they're a close friend, you would tell them why? Because your trust in them has grown in that relationship with them, that you can give them access to more information or more revelation about who you are. But more revelation about what's going on in you. God wants to give you more revelation or more understanding. He wants to disclose more of himself. He wants you to see more of him. And that happens as he knows he can trust you. When he gives you a piece of information, when he gives you commandment, you go and do it. Ah, I can trust him. He's trembling at my word. He's listening to what I'm saying. Man, I put this responsibility in them and they follow through. I can trust this person. Anyway, this happens with our relationship with God. This happens with our relationship with men, because we can understand this because we do this with one another, with different people. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. I just wanted to bring that out here today about our relationship with God. To position ourselves here to grow and build upon the relationships and revelations of God that we have and progress. Progress to pleasing God. Progress to please God. Can we put that other picture back there? Progress to please God as a son. Progress to please God as a savior. All right? You got to be humble to receive a savior in your life. You can be going down a ravine about to die, drowning in sin, and unless you're humble enough to realize that you need help, you won't receive a Savior. We need to progress in our relationship as God is our Savior and allow Him to help us. Allow and realize that we need God. We need to be dependent upon Him. We need God as our Father. We need a Father in our life. We need to be sons to Him. And as we're sons and daughters, we grow in that relationship. The Holy Spirit, understand that there is the Spirit of God. He's there. He's the lover of our souls. He intertwines, and there's an intimate relationship with who He is. And as we get with God in prayer, we need to be more intimate. We need to love on God. We need to love on God. The Bible says He's the lover of our souls. The Holy Spirit, He's the lover of our souls. He intertwines us. He's the owner and master, the steward, the head. We are His church. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Fear of God, wisdom, Lord and King, servant. We need to be serving Him. Do we grasp what we're talking about here today? Is it starting to make sense? And then as we do this, all of the relationships grow. They grow in deeper love for Him, deeper understand, deeper appreciation. But again, we need some of these foundational levels to understand, God, You are Savior, and never lose that. Because here's the thing. If you serve God as Lord and King, and you don't have Him as Savior and Redeemer anymore, don't recognize Him as that, becomes dead religion. If you lose your passion for God, as you grow in your relationship with God, as you lose your love for God, you can be serving God all you want. You can be, God, You are my, I serve You, God, here I am, you know, I humbly bow before You, God. Yes, God, whatever You want, okay, well, do this. But there's no passion. It means we've forgotten some of the facets. We've forgotten about who God is in other relationships. We forgot we haven't accessed God as Savior, as Lord, as lover of our souls. That passion, the passion of these foundational levels fuels our other relationships with God. It's not that God is He's not like a schizophrenic, all right? It's not like He's got all these different, but these are all part of who He is, just like you have different parts of who you are. And we need to access these different facets, the names of the Lord, amen? So position ourselves to progress in our relationship with God. As we do this, we're positioning ourselves for favor with God. God is pleased when you access any and every relationship with God you can. When you access the name of the Lord. Why? Because you can't access any name of the Lord without Jesus Christ. You can't access any name of God without Jesus being Jesus in your life, being Lord and Savior. And He is pleased every time you cross that bridge of Jesus to speak with Him, to talk with Him, to address Him as the love of your soul, as owner, as head, as holy, as Alpha and Omega, as the beginning and the author and the finisher of your faith, as the wine and the wineskins, you know, as the Lion of Judah, you know, as your might, as your refuge, as your strong tower. He's your strong tower. He is your place of strength. You know, He's the Godhead, the three in one. He is almighty, all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, our provider. He is all these things and more. He is more. He is the rose of Sharon, El Shaddai, Adonai, you know, King of Kings, I mean, Prince of Peace. He is all these things. There's so much. Your relationship with God should never be boring. It should never get old. There's so much to do, but it gets boring when we lose the foundations. When we lose the foundational aspect of Savior, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, when we lose that, we begin losing sight of who He is, and we lose sight there's more of Him to know. These things should fuel our passion. God, there's more of You. God, I want to know more, because those things fuel you to read more, to gain more knowledge, to gain more understanding. There's so much to God. There's so much to God to know. He is your healer today. He is your healer. He is your provider. He's not just a provider. He's yours. Again, that means you are claiming that relationship as yours. It's not just the God of the Bible. He is your God of the Bible. He is your God. He is my God. He is my King. He is my Savior. Let's stand here today with me. He is pleased with you when you access Him in any relationship, in any part of who He is. He's pleased with that because you crossed the bridge of Jesus to do that. But today I want to encourage you to progress in your faith, to progress in your relationship with God and who He is, to progress in knowing who He is, and don't lose sight of your foundation. Don't lose sight of Him as Savior, His love of your souls, as the one who died for you, your sacrifice, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of this earth. Oh gosh, you guys, I could have preached this whole sermon 45 minutes with just the names of God, just going over names and names. When you think about it, just even as I say it, there's power. There's power in His name. There's power in His name. And when you receive it, that's my God. That name, that's my God. That's my God. All of a sudden, there's power that comes for you. For you. So I want to encourage you. Let's progress. Let's continue to position ourselves for favor. And we position ourselves for favor not by saying, God, I'm coming to You because I want more in my life. No, God, I'm coming to You because I want to satisfy Your heart. I'm coming to You, God, because You're the center. I want to please You. We gain favor by not looking for just ourselves, but we look for Him. God, favor is not for you. It's not just for you. He blesses you. Man, He gives you favor, and there's more. He just returns His love. It's a reciprocation of His love. It's a reciprocation. It's His glory that He puts upon us, that joy, the joy that is our strength, that joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's satisfy Him. Let's pursue Him. It says that if you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we need to know that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Reward of those that diligently seek Him. He gives favor to those that diligently seek Him. Let's pray.